Self-hate or self-resentment is something that a lot of people have struggled with and some of us are still struggling with, and it could be for various reasons, from trauma to a lack of self-awareness or body dysmorphia. The list literally goes on. But what can go on is how we treat ourselves wrongly. We all deserve love, care, and compassion, but most of all, we deserve to give it to ourselves. Now, before I go further, I'd like you to take time and say to yourself, I'm loved and I deserve love. Say it. So before we get into today's episode, if you're new here, I'm your host, Ovo. Welcome to For the Pains of Growing podcast. It is my goal to heal the collective trauma through conversations about all the things that people like to avoid talking about. I'd advise you to take off your shoes, relax, let go of all your expectations, and get ready to ease the growing pains. Remember, take what feels right and live what doesn't. And on that note, I would like to welcome you to today's episode of For the Pains of Growing podcast. Okay, so first off, I want to clearly state that this isn't medical advice, and if you experience self-hatred, especially in forms of suicidal thoughts or self-harm, please talk to someone you trust and, if possible, seek professional help. Also, I want you to remember that comfortability is your worst enemy, because it will prevent you from growing, healing, and becoming who you are meant to be. We're all on a journey of unbecoming, and this requires us to reprogram our minds by unlearning and letting go of everything that no longer fits with our spirit. And this can be hard, because comfortability says stay where you are, you are comfortable and you are good here. But uncomfortability says come, let's take this journey together and become brand new. Let's face our demons and become a higher version of ourselves. And it's going to be hard at first, but with constant practice of introspection and active self-awareness, it will become easier. When I started, the act of introspection, it was so uncomfortable, especially with journaling, sitting down and writing out the fact that I don't like myself or I'm struggling with the way I looked. It was so uncomfortable at first, but the more I kept on doing it, the more I kept on going back in and trying to understand what was going on in my mind, the easier I found it. And eventually, everything that once seemed uncomfortable became comfortable. Now, self-hatred can be detected, or it presents itself as a constant feeling of hollowness or emptiness. It feels like no matter what you do, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you win, no matter what happens, there's this voice at the back of your mind, or there's this feeling in your chest that just like makes you feel you'll never be good enough. You'll never be loved. You'll never be cared for. No one cares for you. Your life is worthless. You have no purpose. Even when people reassure you that they care for you, if there's just this feeling, it just comes out of nowhere. And it's like every day is a battle with your mind. Every time you experience happiness, you are scared to feel it, because you know that the moment you let happiness or love in, that voice comes back, that feeling comes back. And I'd like to let you know that that voice is lying to you. You do deserve love. You do deserve care. You are loved and you are cared for. And never ever let that voice or feeling lie to you. And it can be hard to like fight a voice or stop believing in a voice that you've believed and you've become so comfortable living with for such a long time. I remember vividly when I started thinking these thoughts. At first, it was usual anxiety. But then from J1, which is the first year of middle school, to about 300 level, which is when I started like the whole introspection. In between those periods, it felt like life was a blur. Not because I wasn't alive, but because I couldn't bring myself to live in life because of that voice. And the first thing I'd like to tell you that I realized that really helped me was that you need to stop being hard on yourself. You need to give yourself grace. You need to extend grace, love, and care to yourself. You don't treat people the way you treat yourself. You don't tell people the horrible things you tell yourself. So I need you to understand that you need to stop being hard on yourself. And that is the first and the most important thing. You have to look at yourself with grace and love and care. And even when you make mistakes, you're not the first to make a mistake. Learn the lesson and move on. Don't hold it in, don't internalize it, don't become someone you're not because of a mistake or something you did in the past. And this will bring me to my first point today, which is you need to see yourself beyond your past actions or emotions. For a lot of us, for a lot of human beings, we find it so easy to internalize and hold on to everything we've done wrong. It's like you could make 1,000 good decisions in a week. The one decision you made wrongly will stick in your head and it will replay over and over and over and over until it's like you're about to lose your mind. And the reason why that happens is because there's something known as the self-concept, which is a psychological phenomenon that psychologists use to explain how humans perceive ourselves. We perceive ourselves based on four things: principles, relationships, values, and experience. But I want to focus on experience. Because of the way we perceive ourselves based on experience, we believe that, oh, if we've made bad choices or we've lived a hard life, we are bad people. But that's not how life works. Who you were when you made those choices that you made and who you are now are two different people. So don't judge yourself based on your past actions. Don't judge yourself based on things that happened in your past that you had no control over. So that part of you that is holding on to every inch of everything that you've done wrong, begin to go into that part of you and ask for forgiveness. Go to your inner child, go to your shadow side and say, okay, I need us to start forgiving ourselves. I need us to start moving on. I need us to start doing better for ourselves. And this was something that started help. And this was something that helped me. For me, I started by learning how to forgive people easier so that I could forgive myself. Another reason why you may hate yourself is you don't know yourself. And lots of us don't know ourselves. We don't know who we are. We're still learning who we are or what we want from life. But because in the society we live in, there's this pressure to know who you are and have your life figured out by the time you're 20 or at least 25. Because that pressure exists and is placed on us, a lot of us feel like, oh, because we don't know our purpose, because we don't know what we want to do with life or what we want from life, we are unimportant. You have to realize that despite what society tells you about purpose is not something that you have to search for. It's not something that you have to dive into the deep end to find. It is something that will reveal itself to you when it is time. And the craziest part is right now, you could even be in training for your purpose, but you don't know because it's not yet time for you to know. If all of us know what we're going to do in life, there will be no point to life. The point of life is that it is a journey and you have to take it to learn about yourself and learn where you belong. You take your time, be easy, just continue doing what your soul calls you to do. And another thing about not knowing ourselves is that a lot of us attach ourselves to principles, ideologies, people, places, family, etc. So when these things begin to change, or when we realize that, okay, we don't like the things we used to like, we feel like, oh my God, I'm becoming a bad person. I'm becoming an evil person. I don't know who I am anymore. And all this fear of not knowing who you are may become ground for self-hatred too, because you realize that, oh, everything you once attached yourself to no longer fits in. When we realize that we no longer fit into things and fit into structures that we used to fit in, we begin to think we're the problem, that there's something wrong with us, but that's not true. The thing is that you are growing and you're becoming somebody different, and what you like and what you don't like is going to change. The relationships you once loved having is going to change. Your best friend a year ago might not be your best friend in the next year because you are changing. That doesn't make you a horrible person. That doesn't mean you're problematic. It means that you're growing. Thirdly, you're not aware of your insecurities. Now, first of all, insecurities are not the devil that the society have painted them to be. I've learned that the only time you feel insecure is because that part of your life needs care, love, and to be reassured. You see somebody who has more money than you, you think, oh my God, I wish I had money as much as this guy. Oh my God, I wish I had this person's body. Oh my God, I wish I could sing like that. Oh my God, I wish I could write that way. Now, the thing is that when you say that, instead of immediately shutting yourself and be like, oh my God, you are so insecure by everything, you just want to be like everybody, you have no sense of who you are, instead of going into that self-deprecating run, think, oh, I want to be as rich as this guy. That means I don't feel secure in my finance. My finance is obviously not doing well, so I have to do better for myself. And what do? You see insecurities as a place where there is work to be done. Think about it. Every single part of your life that you feel assured as hell about, you don't feel insecure about those parts. When you are so sure of someone, you don't feel insecure about them. When you are so sure about an area of your life, you don't feel so insecure about them. So when you feel insecure about something, don't shrug it to the side. Don't throw it away and say, oh, this is wrong. I shouldn't feel insecure about this. I shouldn't feel jealous. The more you begin to reassure yourself or reassure those areas of your life and give it care and give it love, you begin to find out that, bro, there was no need for me to be afraid of my insecurities. There was no need for me to feel anger towards myself for being insecure. Yes, you shouldn't feel less. Yes, you shouldn't feel jealous. But because it is happening, it means that you have to pay attention to that part of yourself. The fourth thing I would say is you're not being honest with yourself. Literally, the worst thing you can do is to lie to yourself, because your soul and your spirit knows the truth. You know that you're not supposed to be doing something, you're not supposed to be saying something, but you're doing it and you're saying it, and then you're lying to yourself. The truth is, you are triggering the same reactions that you trigger in your soul and your spirit when somebody lies to you. When someone lies to you, how do you feel? When you find out somebody was trying to fool you, how do you feel? You feel less. You feel angry. You feel betrayed. You feel embarrassed. And all these emotions and all these things that you experience when someone else lies to you, your soul experiences when you lie to yourself. So therefore, when you feel like something isn't right for you, when you feel like you're not supposed to be doing something, you hear the voice in your head saying, don't do this, don't do it. Because the thing is that our conscience exists for a reason. It is there to direct our path. It is there to direct our footsteps and to avoid things that don't fit with our soul. So when your gut is telling you, oh no, don't do this, this isn't right, take that advice and walk away. Because when you do it and you begin to lie to yourself, there is this lack of trust that you've built with yourself. So do not sacrifice your self-trust for something that lasts for only a moment. And if you have to do it, convince yourself that you have to do it first instead of doing it and then lying about it. You get? Now, the fifth thing is like the very important, I don't say very important because they're all important, but like it plays a very large role in self-hatred, and that is that you have trauma. Now, first of all, we all have trauma. Now, if you don't know what trauma is the result of extraordinary stressful events that shatter our sense of security. Basically, trauma builds insecurities. So it's like something happens, this thing causes so much stress that it makes you feel unhappy, insecure, and because of the stress that all of this will cause, it makes you feel helpless, weak, or sad. So basically, think about all the experiences that you've been through in life that made you feel extraordinarily stressed. Think about the events that made you feel sad, weak, and helpless. Now, classify all of them as trauma. Now, the thing about trauma is that when it happens, the majority of the time, we begin to feel like, oh, it's our fault or we deserved it. And because we think that it's either our fault or that we deserve it, we hold on to it so much that so many of us internalize it and build our identity around it or on it. So again, think of those events that have made you feel weak, sad, helpless, insecure. Now think about who you were before those events. Think of the moments that happened during those events. I think of who you were after this event. Now you notice that there might be a change. For many people, there will be a change because you realize that, oh, before you lost someone, you used to be very carefree, open, and willing to accept all. But after like experiencing like people that you love die, you began to become closed off. And the thing is that a lot of us have so many things that happen to us as kids. Things that we think don't even matter. But the truth is that those things have found a way to define who we are in the present day, and because they see exist in who we are, it is easy for the negative voice to make you feel like you deserve all the bad things that has happened to you. And the thing about trauma is that unless you go back to look into it and unearth them from whatever they are rooted in, it will continue to affect your life. So you have to start going in through your personality, into yourself, studying yourself, ask yourself, why do I do the things that I do? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Don't be impulsive, because when you're impulsive, you keep on making actions based on who you used to be and things that happened to you as a child or your trauma. You have to begin to question your why behind everything. Why do I talk the way I talk? Why do I have to be so rude to this person? Why am I a negligent person? Why do I easily forget things? Why is this happening? Of course, not all of it will be built in trauma, but a portion of it will be. So you need to do that work. Now, another thing I will tell you is you are disconnected. Now, this comes in two phases. First of all, when you are disconnected, it's like you are numb. You can't relate to the people around you. You can't bring yourself to experience emotions for some people. Basically, you don't connect to humans or things in life. You feel like in everything you do, there is no sense of fulfillment. There's no sense of joy. When you do things, even when they're supposed to bring you joy, it's just like you've done this and you're like, okay, so then what? There's this sense of feeling of numbness. Like, the thing is that this happens because of two reasons. First of all, like I said, trauma. And it is that something traumatic happened to you, so you disconnected yourself from the part of yourself that feels, because it's possible to go through life being numb if you want to. But the thing is that if you are feeling this way, you're not asking yourself, why do I feel disconnected? Why can I not connect? And then you think there's something wrong with you. And then you start hating yourself and start saying all these awful words to yourself. But the thing is that something might have happened to you as a child that automatically made your subconscious lock away the part of you that connects with people and things and feelings and emotions. So because that part of you is locked away, you cannot connect, so therefore you feel disconnected. And the second reason why you may be feeling numbness is egocentrism. You are someone who is self-centered and always thinking about yourself, which again might be a result of trauma or might be a result of what you saw growing up, how you saw people behaving growing up. You get, so you took that habit and you put it in. So because you've, for a long portion of your life or a large portion of your life, you only put yourself first, you don't know how to form connections, you don't know how to build honest connections with people. So because of that egocentrism that has taken like a major role in your life, you feel disconnected from everyone and everything that is around you. And the best way to start reconnecting is you need to start asking yourself, why do I feel disconnected? You have to sit down, start thinking, when did I start feeling disconnected from people? What started making me disconnect from people? When was the last time I felt connected to people or someone or something? And like going back into that journey of just like examining who you've been throughout your life is going to help you get the answer that you deserve, and eventually you will get there. And the seventh reason why you may hate yourself is you have no social support or you lack intimate relationships. Yes, psychology has shown that social support and intimate relationship have a positive impact in our life. Like if you have people cheering on for you 24/7, because of the concept of this sense of self or because of the self-concept, you will feel like you achieved. But for those who do not have this, for those who don't have social support or don't have intimate relationship, you feel isolated. You feel like there's something wrong with you. And the reason is because we as humans are social animals. So support from people in our social clique or in our circle, an intimate relationship, will always create a strong feeling of belonging, will create a strong impact of emotions on us. But when you don't have these things in your social circles or in your day-to-day life, it creates a strong feeling of loneliness and sadness. And then you begin to say all these awful things to yourself, and you think that because social support or intimate relationships are not present in your life, there's something definitely wrong with you. So therefore you hate yourself and you stand in the mirror and ask yourself, why? The thing you have to know is that just because you don't have social support now, intimate relationship now, does not mean that you're an awful person. Just because the people around you don't support you doesn't mean that your dreams are wrong and doesn't mean you should hate yourself. You have to understand that certain times, not everybody finds it easy to create a social support system, and it may take years for you to build that system of people that you trust and are willing to support you and go to the extreme end. Even if you do it for people, it doesn't mean they're going to do it for you too. So what do you need to do? You need to build your sense of support and care on yourself. Everything that you're looking for people to give to you, give it to yourself. It may not feel the same, but it is worth what it is worth. And you doing this consistently, giving yourself things that you expect people to give to you, will automatically build your sense of self. It will build your trust in yourself. And before you know, you find yourself realizing that, oh, I can actually do without people supporting me. Like, I can actually do it. I can actually do this life without them. And automatically, because you're working on yourself and because you're becoming comfortable with yourself, you find that the more you start loving yourself, a lot of people will want to come in and try and break your foundation because people are awful and they hate seeing people doing things that they can't do. So the moment you start loving yourself, people will start reacting wrongly. But at the same time, they're going to be people who will see you and will love you. Like I said before, it may not happen immediately, which is why you have to build your sense of support on yourself. You have to give yourself the things that you want people to give to you. Now, the eighth reason why you probably hate yourself is you struggle with toxic comparison. Now, comparison is good when it's healthy and is used as a source of motivation. And it's even better when you do it with who you were yesterday or a couple of moments ago, who you are right now, who you are becoming in the next moment, and who you intend to be. Which is why a lot of people will tell you, oh, let your only competition be yourself, which I agree with. But at the same time, there are people who will exist in the fields of things that you want to do. There are people who you look up to. And that's where the concept of toxic comparison and positive comparison comes in. And just in case you're wondering what toxic comparison is, well, when you compare yourselves with other people or who you yourself intend to be, instead of seeing how far you have to go as a motivation, as a space for growth, or as a journey, you then choose to see it as shortcomings. You choose to see it as how you'll never be good enough. And because we begin to think like that, the comparison becomes toxic. And because the comparison is toxic, you find out that you're hating yourself, because instead of seeing that space as room for growth, you see it as a space that you'll never be able to step into. So after hating ourselves, we thus set expectations that are unachievable. But because your motivation to do it is not because you see, you have started seeing that space as a room for growth, it's because you are seeing it as something that you have to do to prove yourself, you put the bar all the way up there. And then when you don't achieve it, that voice at the back of your mind comes again and is like, you see why you're not good enough. So when you see people that you want to be like, don't say, oh, I have to do this in 2 days. Don't put a time limit on your growth. Because first of all, just because it took them 2 days or a year doesn't mean it's going to take you 2 days or a year. Look at that journey that you have to go through as room for growth. And when you begin to see it as a journey and room for growth, you see that journey as a process. You see that journey as worth it, because every day you tell yourself it's not about the goal, it's about the journey, it's about everything that I will learn on the journey to becoming this thing that I want to become. And that's how it works. That's how positive comparison works. Now, just like in case I haven't mentioned these things, I'm going to mention like a few things that you should do to overcome self-hatred. Now, the first one is extend grace to yourself, like I said before. Second thing is you have to start healing your inner child. A lot of us think that the older we get, we leave our child behind us and we're no longer that child that we used to be. No, because the thing is that though we may grow in age and we may grow physically old, all the insecurities and all the trauma that we went through as children will grow with us and become a part of our personality, like I've explained before. And the thing you have to do is that you have to start healing that inner child, that part of you, that younger version of you that went through that trauma, that went through that thing. You have to go back into yourself and say, we are moving on. You have to go back to yourself and tell that part of you that I love you, and give you that part of you those words of affirmation that they so badly needed. Because if you don't do that, you can never grow. And the thing about the inner child is that it needs attention and care. Now, the third thing I would say is accept yourself as you grow. Like I said before, you're changing and you've changed and you will constantly continue to change. So why not let go of who you've been and accept who you are becoming? The person that you are so attaching yourself to isn't you anymore. And those things that you did in the past and those people that you hurt in the past, those actions aren't you anymore. And the only reason why you think is you is because you are so strongly attaching yourself to that person you used to be or those actions you've made. But it's time for you to blossom and let yourself grow into who you are meant to be. The fourth thing I would say is learn yourself. Learn why you do the things you do. Learn why you are in the situations that you place yourself. Learn why you think the things that you think. When the voice comes in with negative thoughts, ask yourself, why is this voice coming here? What insecurity is pushing this voice? One thing that we don't know is that a lot of time when negative thoughts come, it's because there's an insecurity behind it. And the fifth thing I would say is stop excusing self-sabotage. Don't do something awful to yourself and say, it just happened. I just did it. I didn't know. Don't excuse it. Self-sabotage. A lot of us do awful things to ourselves. We say awful things to ourselves. We tell ourselves the worst things. And then we'll be like, it just happened. Oh, well, it was a moment of weakness. It was, but it shouldn't repeat itself. And I know how self-sabotage can be. I know the awful things I used to say to myself. I know how I think myself into sadness and because of anxiety, because of fear, and because of all of these other various things. And I'll just say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. And I'll let the thoughts run through. The truth is that there is something you can do about it. Whenever those negative thoughts of depression and whenever those negative thoughts of self-loathing or not being enough or being ugly or being worthless or even suicide comes, redirect them. You hear a voice say you're ugly, tell yourself I'm not ugly, I'm beautiful in my own way. And even if you don't believe it, say it, because the more you affirm it, the more you believe it. And the craziest part is, I'll tell you the truth, when I was so far deep in depression and people used to tell me these things, I'd be like, are you okay? Like, what the hell are you saying? Are you literally telling me to say this and you think it will make a freaking difference? And that is the thing is, despite all I've said here, some of the things may not feel right at this moment. So take what feels right, take the things that you can apply. And the sixth thing I would say is, do not internalize the negative things that people have said about you. This is so easy because people may say things about us, especially those of us that grew up being bullied. These people say these things and then we take them in. And then even though we tell ourselves, oh, it's not true, they're lying, we take them in though and we internalize it so hard that voice in the back of our head will pick it up and begin to use it against us. Remember that the way people treat you is a reflection of who they are, not who you are. Someone will only tell you that you're ugly because they feel that they're ugly. When I was younger, in high school, there was something that my teacher taught me, and it was like, when somebody will want to insult you, they will only insult you the way that they feel like if someone insulted them, it will hurt them. And as I grew older, I realized that a lot of people who used to bully me and say awful things to me didn't exactly have happy lives. And I realized that, everything they said wasn't a reflection of me, but was a reflection of who they were. And then another thing I would say is, like I said before, give yourself what you seek in others. The love that you so desperately are looking for in other people, give it to yourself, pour it into yourself, and see how things change. Number 9, focus on yourself and your goals. And not in an egocentric, self-centered way, but in a way of, I come first in my life. I matter the most. I will not push my emotions to the side for someone else. And then the last thing I would say is, unlearn your trauma. Your trauma isn't you. Everything that your trauma has said to you or has made you feel or has made you become is not true. So you must begin to unlearn your trauma today. It is not an easy journey. It took me 9 years to begin to realize that everything I've told you so far was the way out of self-hatred for me. So I'm saying, don't expect your journey out of self-hatred to be a smooth ride. Listen to your soul. What feels right, accept it. Continue learning, continue growing. And what doesn't feel right, leave it by the wayside. Don't hold on to things that don't belong to you. Thank you for listening to today's episode of For the Pains of Growing podcast. If you like this episode, please don't forget to smash that subscribe button for more content, leave a review, and also please share this episode with someone, spread the good word of healing, and please don't forget to hit us up if you have any questions. You can find us on Instagram as For the Pains of Growing podcast and on Twitter at FTPG podcast. Feel free to follow us for more content. And if you check the description box, I have linked a playlist that is available on Spotify and Apple filled with songs that will help you heal and become better. So please check it out. Music is a free form of therapy. Until next time, wishing you peace, love, and divinity. Stay safe. Thank you.